Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Rats are as synonymous with city life as they are loathed by city dwellers. But while restrictions brought about by the global pandemic haven't done much to help humans flourish, those much maligned pests have been thriving. To learn more about the enduring battle between resident and rodent, Monocle's Alexis Self jumped in a van and went on the hunt. Here he is.
It is said that in London, one is never more than 6 metres away from a rat. Well, over the past year, that distance has narrowed. Ah, what was that? As lockdown emptied the city's commercial centre of humans, its rodent population followed suit. The British Pest Control Association said its members reported a 51% rise in activity during the spring of 2020 and a 78% increase after the second lockdown in November. In search of answers as to why this has happened, as well as tips for those now living squeak by jowl, I travelled to a housing estate in South London to meet Alison Bohr, one of the city's few female exterminators and an employee of Pest Force. I started by accompanying Alison on her round of the estate's bait boxes. So I'm here at an estate in South London with Pest Force's Alison Bohr. Alison visits here fairly regularly to check up on rat boxes. And Alison's got a bucket of... What's in the bucket?
It's non-toxic monitoring bait, we call it. It allows us to see if there's activity in the area without actually poisoning the animal.
And so Alison's just checking all of the... You've probably seen these around. They're big plastic boxes with holes either side.
So I go into these boxes once every 6 weeks, pretty much. Can you see all these curly-whirly bits?
Mm.
Right, they're not rats. They're not rats. They're slugs and snails.
Okay. So have they perished because they've eaten the
poison?
No,
no, no. No, this isn't poison. No, it's just for monitoring. So when I look in a box, I'm looking for rat droppings.
Mm. What do they look like?
And there are, if we see some, I'll show you. They kind of look like fat grains of rice.
What has been the impact of lockdown?
The impact of lockdown has definitely been noted in London. We've had more calls. I think it's been in the papers that there's been more rats around. I think partly because of people spending more time at home, and also partly because usual commercial premises where rats might eat from dumpsters and things out the back have been empty. And so rats, being very clever animals, are looking for another source of food. And so they head mainly up the sewage system. And when they come to the end, that tends to be your private drain. And if they can ingress into a building through redundant pipe runs or breakages in pipework, then they will do. Usually the first thing that people notice is noise. We get lots of calls. I can hear noises in the wall, I can hear noises in the ceiling, or I can hear noises in the floor. Sometimes that could be birds, particularly in the ceiling, could be squirrels. There's quite a few of our pests that do make noises. But often the first time people notice is when they see one scurry across their kitchen floor, which isn't great when it goes over their feet. One thing that people don't know a lot of is that rats need to drink every day, and they need a source of water. So standing water in gardens, in flower pots, you know, the kind of when it rains, that could encourage rats into your garden if they're in the area. So always have, particularly externally, always have a waste bin with a lid that fits. Do not ever overload your waste bin, leaving the lid up, because you're inviting a rat or rats into your bin. Don't just put bin bags outside by the back door. It must be in a hard bin. That's the best way. Internally, any rubbish bins that you have indoors should have lids that shut, and they should be shut and kept closed. If you suspect you've got rats in your property, get in the habit of closing doors, because it stops the ingress of rats through the property and tends to keep them into one area. One thing that I find amazing sometimes when I go into people's properties is the amount of people that actually store food in the base units of their kitchen. Mm. Food should be stored in the top cupboards.
What about getting a pet, like a cat or a dog? Is that a good way to deter a rat?
I've heard people say that, you know, the cat's just sat and looked at the mouse, or the cat's just sat and looked at the rat and done nothing. Same with dogs. I had a client yesterday who had a Jack Russell, and he said that the mouse was in his lounge chomping on a piece of chocolate on the table, and the dog just sat there and looked at it. So no, it doesn't always work. It doesn't always work. But my bet would be on a Jack Russell, definitely.
Woof. After we'd ticked and checked all the bait boxes, Alison agreed to take me further down the Rodenhall to Battersea in southwest London to visit one of her clients with a rat infestation. On the way, we got talking about pests and stuff. During lockdown, there's been all these reports about rats that have developed a kind of mutation that makes them resistant to rodenticide.
Yeah.
Have you encountered that at all?
I haven't, but then we tend not to bait for rats. So I would only use rodenticide as a last resort. And the reason being is that if a rodent takes rodenticide and dies within the structure of a building, my poor client is left with a really disgusting smell for 14 to 21 days, and followed that by an infestation of flies, if they're unfortunate.
Have you come to sort of respect and empathise with some of the pests that you control?
Yes. I mean, rodents really are the main one. Finding a rat or a mouse on a glue board is not pleasant. That rat or mouse has to be dispatched in the kindest and quickest way. Often they've been in that position for some time when I get to them. Not because it's my glue board, but usually because a customer's put it down and they're unaware that when the animal is caught, they suddenly realise, oh, I've got to do something about this, and they don't know how to. It's not a part of my job I enjoy.
These are the biggest pests in London, traffic wardens.
I went to a client's house some while ago, and she said to me that she'd either got rats or rice. And she didn't know which, but she told me that she was hearing it in a cupboard in the corner of her kitchen. And she put a great big box of, I believe it was Surf washing powder, against the door to stop whatever was inside the cupboard coming out. So I walked to the cupboard and she was like, oh, you're not going to move it, are you? I said, it won't be in the cupboard, it won't be in the cupboard. Again, never ever say it won't do something.
Yeah.
So I moved the box, I opened the cupboard, there's a nice big rat in there having a meal. So I closed the cupboard door and said to her, definitely rats.
So we're in Battersea in southwest London, and we're about to look at a private residence, somewhere that you've come before. Why are you here today, Alison?
Today is the final visit to a property that has had a problem with rats ingressing into the kitchen area of the property. Rats have a thing, I call it a thing, I don't know if that's the right terminology, called neophobia, which means they don't like anything new. So they become very familiar with their surroundings. And the moment you introduce something new, they become a little scared and wary of it. So if they're finding an intervention in a drain, they're not going to walk through it. They're going to look at it and think, oh, I'm going back to where I was, which actually, unfortunately, is in your house. Now, sometimes when I walk into people's properties before I've even done them, I think that smell's there. So,
yeah.
You know, you can... rats smell whether they're dead or alive.
Pull off the skirting cord.
Yeah. So, girls, have you heard anything more?
No, not recently.
Not at all?
No.
Just the smell. The smell in the house is the reason why we don't use bait indoors.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens.
Because the rat will die and then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the girls have had flies, haven't you? Mm. And that comes from the carcass of the rat.
Right.
So you end up with a twofold problem.
What's the next step now?
So, well, now, because the intervention has been put in the drain, we've had no catch in the traps. The girls aren't hearing any noises in the house anymore. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that there's no more rats in the structure of the building. The intervention in the drain will keep them out permanently, and I can take these traps away and the girls are rat-free.
There you go, another happy customer. Thank you to Alison Bohr and Pest Force for opening my mind and shutting my trap. If you ever need some pests controlled, give her a call.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And our thanks to Alexis Self for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye. And thank you for listening, City Lovers.